Well, I don't think I have to tell you that what's-his-face, James Comey, did another dumb thing, which I don't really... I guess maybe you have to be an FBI agent or part of the elites to understand, but the looks like the fix is in. It seems like the fix is in. I don't understand if there's no... If there is no standard for these people, how they act, at least the Clintons, why do an investigation? Why say you're doing an investigation and then say the investigation doesn't lead anywhere and no rational prosecutor would ever take this case, and then have all the prosecutors across the country throwing their hands up in the air? And then now you open it again. So I have to ask, is James Comey bipolar or just lost? His choice to go back to his original July decision was about as surprising as Der Wiener Schnitzel decision to text another underage girl. What is wrong with these people? Meanwhile, countdown to American destiny in less than 24 hours. Who will win? Who knows? All we can do is pray. I honestly, unless you don't have any belief whatsoever, would encourage anybody who would take the time to think about it. This country needs some prayer, doesn't it? Like a revival, or I don't know what's going on here. This guy Comey, he acts like he's tapped into some I don't know what it is. It looks like the guy believes that he's tapped into some super source of wisdom or ethics or law, and he does this investigation, which doesn't make any sense, because when he explains why he's not going to do it, it makes a case for prosecution, and then he turns around, which I'm certain helped Donald Trump when he said the investigation was open again. I don't think anybody believed this investigation was going to take 10 days. 650,000 emails. Does anybody think that they went through 650,000 emails? That would be like one a second in the last 10 days. I mean, how many seconds are in a day? So, you know, I think this helped Trump, because it at least shone a light on the problems with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. I went back down and again and found this thing. And I believe that Mary Lee Soles is supposed to be coming on today. So I think I've got at least one. There might be another person that I told to show up. But I just, you know... I don't even know how to put this into words, but I think that what James Comey did at the FBI is going to permanently damage this. And the idea that there's the story out there that his wife believed that he had made a mistake and that there were all of these people that were leaving. There probably are a lot of people leaving the FBI, because I can't imagine that they're happy with all this, although there's got to be some liberals or Clinton supporters or whatever, people that have a different state of mind over there. So there's supposed to be a civil war going on in the FBI. But for James Comey to do what he's done, I think damages the agency. I mean, that would be like somebody calling the fire department on your house twice under the theory that they need to check your smoke detector. You know, it's just, and as always, these people that are elites, and I guess James Comey is an elite by definition, act like they are never wrong about anything, which is once again a damaging proposition, because, you know, it's not right to communicate to people that you are never wrong, or that there's never and I understand that they did an investigation and everything, but to present the idea that she has done nothing wrong in July and therefore we need to move on and then reopen it with 650,000 emails, everybody knows that you couldn't have enough people or time in 10 days to go through 650,000 emails. And then all kinds of other things are coming out of WikiLeaks. But we end up with this, you know, it's just, I mean, be to the extent that if Comey was trying to be fair, and he decided he wasn't going to prosecute her again, to whatever extent that it represents fairness, that he would stand up and say, we're done with the investigation 2 days before the election. Fine. But the overall standard, the original decision was mistaken. And this was an opportunity for him to readdress that. Now he looks like a fool. The FBI looks ridiculous. And it has given... You know, this can't be helpful. And if the standards are so low at the FBI that they can't really prosecute anybody in this situation, then they need to, and I guess they have communicated this to other people, you know, to individuals who are in the, I don't know, in the business of taking care of secrets. If you have no standards, then I don't know. Then the country is just can't be headed in the right direction. That's my reaction. Here's a little bit on this Comey decision. Comey, by the way, if you've been living under a rock, James Comey 12 days ago, said that he was going to reopen the investigation in so many words. And then he said yesterday, they're not going to prosecute Clinton. And it did give a boost to Donald Trump, which is good for Trump. But I think it's as if there's no standard over with these people. And they're bringing up this old idea of how you're supposed to act and cooperate and then not, you know, I don't know. It's not that I'm upset. I'm just totally confused. And I think that the FBI has been played, the country has been played, and I think this guy Comey should not be running the. I mean, that's the most obvious reaction. James Comey should not be running the FBI. I don't know what other conclusion to draw, but here's a little bit on his decision. All right, so that she's been cleared of that, and I do have a lot of clips on people's reaction to this, but I honestly don't even feel like playing him because there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. Let me get to let's take a break here. let's take a break here and I think I'm going to play some Cal Jader for you, which I had started the other week, and then something else happened. But we've got some, you know, like I say, Mary Lee Soles, I believe, is coming in today. So anyway, let me get some, as I say, some Cal Jader going here, and we will take a break and come back and a little bit of analysis on this decision, then on to polls. I want you to get plugged into the latest poll to see what's going on. It seems like, and this is just a broad sweep of the analysis, the idea is that Hillary Clinton has a slight edge right now. She's ahead in most of the polls. There's a few outliers, including the most accurate poll from the last three election cycles has Trump up by two, so it depends on state by state. But anyway, 619 Kelly O'Connelly in Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 on KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll come back and look at the polls. All right, so last night, in addition to listening to all these depressing clips on why, you know, Clinton's off the hook again, I also did a little investigation into the pardon, the power of the pardon for the president. But let's first, and I'll get to that in a second, but here is Rudy Giuliani's analysis of Comey letting Clinton off the hook. All right, so what you make of that, make of that what you will. There is something that was very disturbing, though, that I saw that I think I want to just mention to you. I think, number one, we're living in a new age. We've given up on the idea of the rule of law. The rule of law, is out there for when you want it to be. And other than that, and I think this is the president's, one of the president's great legacies going to be that he, I mean, I think he's going to stand for the idea that the rule of law is no different than the desire of the leadership, or the desire of the king, whatever you want to call it, divine right of kings, divine right of presidents. Since there's no God to these people, I don't think it's not a divine right, but it's, you know, it's this, it's once again, and I've mentioned this many times, the problem with messianic liberalism is that there is no boundary around it. These people come in, they feel called, they're going to change the destiny of America, they're going to change the destiny of the world, and in operating the way that they do, they're laying down a foundation to destroy everything that's ever been positive in this country, because where America came from was the rule of law. The rule of law is symbolized by our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. If you get rid of that, as they're trying to do piece by piece, then it just becomes the law of one person, right? Or the law of the group. Very scary times. I don't claim to know who's going to win this race with Trump and Hillary, but I think Trump's got a fighting chance at this point. 6:32 on the button, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Don't get discouraged, friends, because even if we lose this, we're moving on to the next fight. 6:32, 2:3, 1450, 5:2, 3:1450 on KOBE with Kelly O'Connell. And I got a little bit of local news for you. Anything except treason. So I'm just going to throw this out to you. You can make of it what you will. I think that it is possible that the president of the United States is going to I'm not going to say it's likely. It was a lot likelier when she was still under investigation going into the election, and especially whether she won or not being under investigation. I think it is quite possible, though, as I had mentioned before, that the president would pardon her and get up and say one of the kind of things that he likes to say, which is, I'm doing this for the country. This is going to be a partisan battle until from the moment she gets into office till she gets out of office, kind of a thing. And I'm doing it because we've got to rise above politics, or whatever, you know, whatever he would say. And all right, so I'm going to come back and I'm going to play for you, because we've got just a little bit of time left. I'm going to play for you something from a guy by the name of Charles Ortel. Now, this guy is different than the guy that wrote Clinton Cash. I want you to hear him talk just a little bit, and this might influence your vote. May not, but it'll at least inform you on what's going on out there. The idea, the proposition, the fact, if you will, that the Clinton Foundation is the biggest fraud enterprise in history in the name of charity, because it's the biggest charity in history, according to Ortel. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 5:23, 1450 to call in. You're listening to KOBE, AM 1450. We'll be back in just a moment to hit that thing from Charles Ortel, and then we're supposed to have Mary Lee Soles on her last visit, possibly, unless she wins, but could be her last visit to the show at the 7 o'clock hour, I think, 7 or 7:30, I can't remember. And Cal Jader, the guy playing here, he had played with Dave Brubeck, the famous jazz artist, Take Five, and Dave Brubeck was injured in a diving accident in Hawaii, which led to a lengthy convalescence. He hurt his spine, and so Jader moved on from that. Thank you. Okay, so here is this. Here is a little bit of from Charles Ortel, and here's a little background of his resume. I believe he's a Harvard graduate, and he specializes in doing basically, well, he's a financial guy and an accountant, and he specializes in getting inside of businesses and seeing how they spend their money and stuff like that. But here this is about Charles Ortel. All right, so he goes on to say that he thinks one of the reasons was because of the fact that, that there are a lot of different people involved in this organization, including some of them are Republicans who really didn't know what was going on and still don't know that it's a criminal enterprise, but also because of the other investigation into Hillary, that it was just things were getting too big. 6:53, Kelly O'Connell will take a break here and come back and give you a little bit more information about that. And also a statement made by the president that anybody in America can vote. Anybody in America is already a citizen. 523-1450. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on KOBE. Actually, my computer is frozen up, so let me play this thing for you from Obama. That's unbelievable, huh? That's the crazy president that we have right now. No wonder we're struggling. Let's take a break here. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly. Please talk. It's Kelly.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, and I got it turned up all the way. Who is this? Hey, we're on the air. Hold on.
And AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
And we've got, we're out of time, but we've got Bill here on the line. Go ahead, Bill. Bill, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, folks, if you're going to call in, make sure that you've got a good line. I don't know what's going on. It could be something on this end, but I'm not going to waste your time. Here is a little bit more from scandal of the Clinton. All right, so it's pretty interesting. The idea is that they've never filled out the paperwork, and therefore they don't have the right, according to the regulations and everything, to do anything that they're doing. And therefore, they're not under the scrutiny that they would normally be under. Whether this ever comes out in any kind of a legal way, who knows? 6:59, Kelly O'Connell. I believe Mary Lee Soles is coming, although I'll believe it when I see it. We'll be right back after a break for the hour. Little Cal Jader for you. Beautiful, beautiful music. Afro-Cuban.
The investigation. And then he says, no, no, nothing to see. Move along. The Republicans are curious when he fixes it. And then he comes back for 12 days. And then he comes back. And then, that had to occur before. They couldn't have possibly helped. I mean, Kate is going to have something that helped her because it helped her through her event. I cannot not imagine what her health care. All it did was remind everybody.
I didn't think they were going to help.
Yeah. So how does your brother feel about his? I said that my goal was to get everybody to come on the show. This is the last time I can say
I don't know.
probably.
But I don't think.
I don't think I've ever been rude to anybody, regardless of their party on the show. On what? Oh, well, I was trying to sex up the show a little bit.
It's like, oh, that one.
So where's the mobile unit?
Well, we can go back.
What do you want to focus on?
Well, it's about a choice. And my bottom line right now.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Today is the 7th, the day before the election. And some of the headlines out there include Trump up by 5 in the LA Times poll, which is a little bit of an outlier. Rasmussen has Clinton up by 2. It's too close to call. I believe that IBD has the most accurate poll in the last three election cycles has Clinton or Trump up by 2, but it's too close to call. And if you go through the and I do have Mary Lee Souls here, by the way, and I'll bring her on in just a second, but just to and I don't even think I ever got to the polls this morning exactly, but I brought up a Real Clear Politics poll last night and took a look at it, and it was too exciting to mention. We've got Clinton Kane 203 electoral votes that are in the bank. In the bank for her. We've got Trump Pence 164 in the bank, and we've got a toss-up of 171, and some of those toss-up states include Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico. New Mexico, the last poll that I heard was 3 points. So there's 3 points for Hillary here. Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Maine, and New Hampshire are all toss-up states, and it couldn't be more exciting. So in the midst of all this, that we have the very, very kind-hearted and service-fixated and very smart and well-educated Mary Lee Souls on the show this morning. Good morning to you, Mary Lee.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here again and on this day right before the most historic, exciting election ever.
Yeah, I'm flattered, and you didn't. This is like seeing Elvis without all of the, you know, the bodyguards and, you know, it's like seeing Frank Sinatra without the Rat Pack. I mean, you're traveling solo this morning. What's going on?
Well, I'm not sure if that's because my team is too consumed with other things related to the election tomorrow, or if they figure if I can take on Pierce, I can handle my own with you. I'm not sure.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good theory. All right. So, fill us in on, since you've been on the show, it's been a little while till now. What kind of things have you been up to? Obviously campaigning, but what are some of the things that you're proud that your group has achieved?
Well, I think the most significant thing has been there have been 3 debates between myself and my opponent. Just to be clear for your listeners, I'm running against Steve Pierce here in the 2nd Congressional District, Southern New Mexico. I'm seeking to be elected to the Congress.
You
serve the people here.
U.S. House.
U.S. House. That's correct.
And that's pretty exciting. All right. So you guys had 3 debates. How did the debates go? I didn't see any of them.
Well, I think they were very informative for the public, for those folks who got to see them. And I would encourage everybody, visit my website. The second debate, which was done in a television studio at KRWG, is in its entirety available through my website. People can make their own choice. Watch it.
How did you feel about how that went?
I was very pleased with it. I thought the result, people could see the clear difference, the choice that they get to make when they go to vote, and that it was a reasonable representation of both who I am and who I believe he is. Bottom line is, I think I won all three of them.
Okay, you won all three of the debates. And so what, since you were able to sum it up for the debate, let's recapitulate that. What is it exactly that you stand for that you want people to know about when they go to the voting booth?
I believe our current incumbent representative, Steve Pierce, he's been in office for 12 long years. I believe he's just going through the motions, that he's given up on us. He's given up on southern New Mexico. He's given up on the people who live here. And that is such a disservice to this part of the state that is my home and that I love, which I believe is the way others feel as well.
All right. So why do you say, you know, people are going to ask, well, what's your evidence? What's your proof that he has given up?
He actually says at one point in the debate, where I think we're talking about jobs, and he says, let's be real. Those jobs are going to go to the big metropolitan areas. We have to go back to mining and forestry. And for me, wow, this is so we're not smart enough. We're not good enough. We're not worthy enough that those kinds of opportunities for prosperity are never for southern New Mexico. I'm just not prepared to buy that at all.
All right. So what do you see? What's your vision of southern New Mexico in terms of the economy, in terms of jobs?
I know from my manufacturing background, business background with General Motors, where I was an executive for over 20 years, I know from that experience that industry runs on electricity. I see the resources here in southern New Mexico for low-cost electricity as being limitless. This is part of why I became involved with El Paso Electric. It's a significant part of why, as a citizen, I stepped up when they wanted a rate increase last year and filed to intervene with our Public Regulation Commission. And the result of that effort was a savings of $75 million for Doña Ana County over 10 years. That's the work I want to do for the people of southern New Mexico. It both kept money in our pockets, but it also kept our electricity rates lower. Low electricity attracts business, industry. It makes everything run better, and we can do it right here. What a great opportunity. And he would just turn his back.
Huh. Okay, so specifically, what kind of jobs do you see coming here? If industry in general is attracted by electricity, you think that we can develop a grid here that is much lower maybe than other areas of the country because of is it solar energy that you see in wind and all this, or what is your plan?
It is those renewable resources as well as some that we haven't even developed the technology yet. I can imagine taking brackish water, using solar energy to turn it into hydrogen, which becomes energy storage. Hydrogen being a clean fuel that we can put to work, and then it turns back into pure water when you process the hydrogen. Those kinds of technologies people are already talking about, we can put them to work. Distributed grid, which increases our security, makes it possible to lower electricity costs. All of the technologies associated with the energy generation, right here.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, let's take a little break here. We've got Mary Lee Soles. She was kind enough to come the day before the election, and we always have a good time with her. 714 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in on KOBE. We'll be right back with Mary Lee Soles. Actually, I'm supposed to be playing – what's going on here? I'm supposed to be playing Billy Joel here. I almost dropped the ball on this one. And all right, so here we've got a little bit of You Gotta Have Soul.
I count on that when I come to visit you, Kelly. Thank
yeah,
you.
I almost dropped it. I don't know what I was thinking. I must be distracted by this monstrous presidential race. But anyway, great to have Mary Lee Soul on at least one more time, possibly more. And a little Billy Joel, Gotta Have Soul, all about soul. And there we go. We'll be right back. 7:14, Kelly O'Connell Show. All right, so we're here with Mary Lee Soles, and Mary Lee was talking about some of the details of running a campaign and such. And what are some of the things that you've learned that you could put in your little book you've learned along the campaign trail?
People advised me in the beginning that I should keep notes, keep a diary, to write a book. That there is no adventure quite like this. Well, I didn't keep that diary, and at times I wish I had. It is absolutely true that the most interesting things happen. You meet the most interesting people. You visit places you would never go.
Now, hold on to some of these stories because we've got a phone call here. Thanks for calling the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse.
Jesse, I don't know what it is, but I'm having a real hard time hearing anybody calling in today. Did you want to make your point and I'll pass it on? Okay, I'll ask her that. Thank you, Jesse. Folks, there was a problem with bleed over in one of my lines, and it was the call-in line, and I think they've been working on that, but I think the upshot is that you can't really hear when people are calling in. I apologize that. All right, Jesse calls in and he says, what is your stand on immigration, and are you a liberal or a conservative Democrat? Those are his I guess it's the same question, but are you liberal? You consider yourself liberal or conservative Democrat? And therefore, how does that, what is your policy on immigration?
Well, since Jesse and I don't have the opportunity to compare our definitions, I'll try and describe who I think I am as opposed to use the label. I'm a common sense business person. My background was working for General Motors for 30 years. I have an MBA from the Harvard Business School and an electrical engineering degree. In a sense, that puts me right down the middle. This is all about jobs and the economy and what works for real people. In terms of immigration, which was the other part of his question, here in southern New Mexico, I can't tell who has legal status and who doesn't. When I go shopping at Walmart, maybe the person checking out right in front of me has documents. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're a citizen. Maybe they're not. For me, they're my neighbor. They're part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think has been lost in the national dialogue around immigration is this notion of we're talking about communities. We're talking about real people. We're talking about families that are getting up every morning, going to work, going to school, living their lives, hoping to make something of themselves and some prosperity. And we've turned this into some boogeyman. For me, I'm probably pretty liberal about immigration. I haven't experienced the security issues that get wound up. For example, El Paso, right here between us and the border, is one of the safest cities in the entire country. So I'm not as worried about that kind of security challenge. Of course, I want to keep the country safe from those who would do us harm. And there are people out there that have us in their crosshairs. I get that. I don't think it's just about the border. And I do want to make it possible for people to come out of the shadows. So I would find a way to provide legal documents, legal status to the people who are living and working here, raising their families just like the rest of us, who are part of our economy. I think our economy would prosper by making it possible for them to do that in the open.
All right, so you're in favor of building a bridge between the people that are here illegally and the people that are, to build a bridge between here and citizenship for the people that are already living here.
I actually see citizenship as a completely different question.
Okay.
Completely different question. The first question has to do with people coming and going across the border, choosing to live in our country and participate in our community. You can do that without seeking citizenship, if we made that possible. The citizenship dynamic, then, we need a process that works. 20 years, 30 years for people, quote, waiting in line, following the legal process. That's not a process. That's an I don't know, it's avoidance behavior. It's a political slogan. It's something other than a process that works. I'd like to be part of a complete reconsideration, restructuring, and create a real process that works.
And what are some of the elements that that would have, that new process, if you've thought it out that far?
Well, I'd have it be transparent. I'd have it be not a matter of how much money you have. You don't buy your way into citizenship in this country. I think that's a horrible notion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has very much to do with some vetting that we know who it is that we're going down that process. And I'd use technology to make sure that we could do it quickly, efficiently, and transparently.
But quickly, I mean, shouldn't there be a waiting period or some, you know, I mean, how would you then differentiate? But, you know, I mean,
I'm fine with a waiting period. Absolutely. But it should be pretty clear that here's where the waiting period starts, here's where the waiting period ends, and we process paperwork or whatever.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's take a little break here. I do see C11tino out there. So we're going to, I think, finish up here. We're going to let Mary Lee give her best argument for getting elected here in just a second. Were you finished on immigration?
That'll do. I hope that was useful for Jesse.
I think it was an interesting answer. And I do think that we need to fix the system and how exactly we would jump from Donald Trump's plan of kicking everybody out to, which I'm sure he doesn't really believe in, all the way up to letting everybody in and not even worrying about the immigration implications, which seems to be, it seems like Obama's idea, but I couldn't really be sure, but it seems like that. There's got to be some way to fix what's going on, right?
Exactly. Because what we have right now, I think, is an embarrassment to the greatest country in the world.
Okay. And we'll be right back. And got to have a little soul here. 727 flying the friendly skies with Mary Lee Souls. We'll be right back. Hold on a second. Hey, it's Kelly.
Yeah, hey. I wanted to ask, I didn't catch you the first party show, but did you cover the WikiLeaks jump about the Clintons, Bushes, Obamas, and the pedophilia?
Oh, no. You know, I didn't do that. But let me mention it in the last half hour, okay?
Please do. That is so important. She's a practicing, they all are. They're practicing safeness. You know, you could go to Breitbart, of course, Alex Jones. It's very important to let everyone know who the Bushes and Hillary, who they are.
All right. I will mention the controversy.
Thank you.
Thank you. There is a claim out there that discovered this code language in Podesta information that supposedly suggested for pedophiles, which I didn't. All right, folks, so those are public interest ads that they don't really mark them anymore from coming in. All right, so we've got C11tino in the wings, and it was so great for Mary Lee Souls to come on today. Now, Mary Lee, I'm going to give you your opportunity here to make that final argument for your campaign. You've said that Steve Pearce is out of energy. He's given up on us. But what's the argument for pulling the lever for a Souls candidacy, for a Souls trip to Washington, D.C. through the House of Representatives? What do you think is your best argument?
I think this entire campaign has been a job interview, that I'm seeking to serve the people of Southern New Mexico as their next congresswoman. And he, of course, after 12 years, is seeking another term. I'm a political outsider. He's a longtime political operator. I see a future of opportunity, and he's desperately holding on to the past. So very clearly, I'm asking people to fire him and hire me. And within that, it has to do with, what do you think we should be able to expect of a representative in Washington? And do we want someone who can deliver $75 million for a community? Or do we want someone who's just going through the motions? Do we want someone who would represent all the people of this district and find ways to move towards a future where we all have the potential for prosperity? Or do we want someone who's only about special interests and the wealthy? I'm offering for the people of Southern New Mexico that I will show up, I will stand up, and I will fight for the people in this district. And that together we can and will create a future of prosperity that works for all of us. So I am asking people to make sure they vote in this very, very important election
and
choose your future.
And what is the contact? What's the phone number for your?
I can be reached at 575-405-0229. Or go to my website.
Okay.
That's soulsuscongress.com.
Thank you for coming on. It's great to see you again. Good luck in the election tomorrow.
Thank you, Kelly. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. And we remind you of little Billy Joel here. We got to have Souls, and we got Seal Leventino is waiting in the wings there. And we'll talk to you again. If you win, you got to come here first. All right?
Okay.
All right. Folks, we'll be right back. All right, folks, so my machine is frozen again, but I've got Seal Leventino over there, and she's waiting to come on here. You know, these days are a little bit tight. And so, you know, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like, you know, the you know, Pearce is the incumbent. He's got the leg up, but you never know. These are weird, weird days in the history of our nation. And who knows what's going to happen. Let's take a little break for weather. We'll be right back. We'll have C11-Tino on. Oh, okay. So we have C11-Tino on this morning, and she's on the city council. She's also running for a state office. And Seal, good morning to you.
How are you this morning, Kelly?
Good. How's it going?
I'm fine. I'm just so amazed that I can be here at this hour of the morning.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. So in the seat that you're running for, to let people know?
Yeah, I'm running for State Senate in District 37.
Okay. And
which encompasses everything from behind a mountain all the way to the north side of 70, essentially everything east of I-25. There's a couple of pockets on the west side of 25 that are in my district, and there's a little piece off of Delray that has been cut out for somebody else. But essentially all of that is District 37.
Okay, so how's the race going?
Anecdotally, I think it's going very, very well. I'm enthusiastic. I'm encouraged. I'm anxious to see the numbers tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it looks good. It's going to be a close race. I've said that from day one. And it really will depend on getting out the vote. And that's what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Very nice. Okay. So, let's go back to your, cause we're, you know, we have what, 20 minutes here. What are your issues? Why should people vote for you?
The last time I was on, we talked about, education, and we talked about some of the different issues that are most important in people's minds. I think I had mentioned to you back then that we've been knocking on doors for 9 months now. And at every door, with rare exceptions, the issues have been jobs, the economy, and education. But there are other issues that people need to be aware of. And we talked about this off mic the last time I was here. And you had said, let's talk about those the next time you come. And so I think we should, because there are other issues that taxpayers are going to have to face in very near future and in really for the next decade that they need to be aware of. And when we were talking about it off mic, you said, nobody's talking about these things. And I said, you're right, because they don't want to admit that their policies have been a failure. And so let's talk about those.
10 years of lack of any sustainable growth. The loss of wealth from the middle class has been astounding. Trillions and trillions of dollars that have been lost. And the economy here, it's like people have said, we don't have an economy here. We gotta focus on something else.
Well, we need to build on what we have. We have an economy. It's not good, but we have an economy. And I've been saying for years before I decided to run, New Mexico has so many different ways that we could build a strong, sustainable economy. But you have to have the vision. You have to have the political will to do what's necessary to build that. I think the collapse of the oil and gas industry is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
We are far too dependent on that.
You cannot have a healthy economy if it depends on one sector.
Well, we have two sectors. We have the oil and gas industry that generates about 30% of the state budget and 100% of the education budget. And you have government. 85%, 87%. This is an astonishing number. And this came out of a seminar that I went to where the National Senior Economic Advisor for Wells Fargo spoke. 87% of the employed residents of New Mexico are employed by federal, state, and local government.
That is parasitic, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it. But let's talk about the other issues, because there are other issues that I think voters need to be aware of.
Go ahead.
That their elected officials are going to have to struggle with and come up with some solutions. And medicine is a big one. Probably one of the biggest mistakes that were made by our current administration is expanding the Medicaid program in this state. 48% of the residents of this state currently now are on Medicaid. At the same time, fiscal 17, which started July 1 of this year, the federal government pulled back 5% of the money that they were putting into this state to underwrite the cost of that expansion. Now, 5% doesn't sound like much, but that's $46 million that you and I and every taxpayer is paying just this year to underwrite that gap. In the next 5 years, Kelly, it is estimated we'll need to generate in new income, in new revenue, $778 million in the next 5 years to underwrite the cost of that expansion with the federal government withdrawing more and more money over that period of time.
So people are going to hear this and say, Obamacare has not gone the direction that it was supposed to, and we've got to do something. What's your response to that?
The response, we have to do a lot of different things. I would, quite frankly, vote to end the Medicare expansion right now. It will bankrupt this state. It will bankrupt it. There is no way we can generate $778 million in new revenue without expanding business. Really the key. We have got to open the doors, throw out a massive welcome mat, and say, we have gone through all the regulations, we have eliminated the regulations that don't work, are obviously out of date, whatever. We will do whatever it takes in a positive way to welcome you into the state, to help you get set up, to help you start hiring people, putting people to work. We have the highest unemployment rate in the nation. We have the highest poverty rate in the nation. Well, we have the highest dropout rate from high school in the nation.
Some people seem to be still very proud of the state in terms of how we're doing, which I don't get. And I certainly don't get this local idea that comes out in some of the politicians. This is a no-growth area. To me, that's like putting Afghanistan in the middle of America, you know, going back hundreds of years and just living in squalor and poverty and saying, this is who we are.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. You know, part of the other part of this whole medical crisis that we're going to face is the lack of physicians. We are down 131 doctors in this area.
What does that mean?
That means that we're not doing a very good job. Well, let me rephrase that. That's not true. That means that this is not a state that doctors want to come to and practice.
Why?
Or stay. Well, I'll give you an example. A doctor in Doniana County who does any kind of surgery, any kind of procedure, I don't care if it's taking your tonsils out or taking your uterus out or taking whatever, get paid less than a doctor in northern New Mexico doing the exact same procedure.
So why stay here?
So why stay here? Why come here? Especially if you're a new doctor who just graduated and you've got $300,000 or $400,000 worth of student loan debt, there's no way you can pay it off and work here. Doctors, I'll wrap it up. We'll talk more about it in a minute.
Well, we'll take a little break here. We got about 10 minutes left with Ciel Levitino, who needs a lot more time just to get some of these issues off her chest. She's obviously running for this position because she cares very much about the future of the state. 747 flying the friendly skies. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523 1450. The call in line is broken, but call in and I'll pass on any questions or statements. We'll be right back. Okay, so the polls are too tight to call in the national race. And here locally, we've got C11 Tino telling me over the break that there's a large number of doctors in the state that are over the age of 62 that are going to be retiring in a couple of years, and we are going to be in absolute free fall in terms of number of doctors. That's just one issue. And now you're bringing up to me, once again off the air, the tragic malformation of the mental health industry in this state.
Yeah, it's a huge issue, and I admit that until the last year or two, it was not on my radar screen. But
we're supposed to have for our population 1,500 beds, and we have 150, which means that we're leaning on chemical alternatives to mental health crises and
chemical alternatives in jails.
Yeah,
and
if you're in jail, you cannot get the medicine you need. You might get basic lithium or whatever, but if you're a schizophrenic, it's dark days if you're going to the mental health, if you go into jail.
Absolutely. And the other big issue as far as mental health around this area is concerned is I've had conversations with Reverend Dr. Short, and she is the at Memorial Medical Center.
She's the chaplain?
Chaplain, and she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. You ought to have her on the show sometime.
What faith is she part of?
I think it's Methodist.
Okay.
But she's very involved in suicide prevention, and this area has seen a dramatic and horrible increase in suicide attempts by young people as young as 11, 12, 13 years old.
What's driving it?
Hopelessness, obviously. These kids, there are studies that have been done, and I'm not going to get into this, but there are studies that have been done, according to Dr. Short, you know, who show that certain family situations obviously contribute to a young person's lack of hope and self-esteem and all the issues that teens deal with anyway. And this just exacerbates it. But she's a wonderful, wonderful woman, and I would encourage you to have her on. But mental health care is a huge issue here, and it has to be addressed. And one of the problems has been lack of funds.
And obviously, if you've got 1,500 beds needed and you have 150. Yeah.
I'll tell you I'm losing my voice and I apologize. One of the things that I would do immediately is we need money. Okay, let's shut down the Rail Runner. The Rail Runner system from Albuquerque to Santa Fe, that little train that runs back and forth, generates $2.8 million a year in revenue. It costs $28 million a year to run. Another way, taxpayers are underwriting the cost of that, $26 million. Let's bring that down here for mental health care.
And we have a call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Yeah, Thomas,
briefly, because I'm going to have to, there's something wrong with the phone right now. Just give me it brief.
Lifelong resident of New Mexico, and I wish that the Democrat Party, who has ruled the state house in Santa Fe all these decades, would come to realize, and those in the state who are Democrats, to realize we need something new. We're cutting off our nose despite our face. Admit that we don't have a vision. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. All right. You heard that. You couldn't hear it off the air maybe, but Thomas calls in, been here many years, and we've been under the authority of and direction of the Democrats for decades. We don't have a vision. It's time to admit that and move into something else.
I think it goes back to the old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome.
Heraclitus.
It's time. It really is time.
All right. So let's talk education and economy before we got 3 minutes here. Give me your little feel on what can we do to fix the education. From what I understand, it could be a lot better.
Well, it can be. I mean, we don't want to continue being at the bottom of the pile. I think there are three things that we can do to at least begin the process of improving our education system. Number one, recognize the fact that not every child learns well sitting in a classroom. Give them options. Number two, poor children should have the same rights to a good education as other children. And they parents should have the opportunity to either use a tax credit or a voucher to get their kids into schools that are performing. And number three, I just forgot. So
well, I'm putting you under pressure a little bit here. All right, so for the economy, nothing else happens. We won't have the $757 more than $750 million to fix the welfare system here, the Medicaid system, unless we get an economy moving. What can we do
to get the economy moving?
Yeah, we need some. We have to be more than a one or two sector. We can't live off gas and oil if it goes up and down.
No, we need to have manufacturing. We need to have high tech. We have a medical school here. Why are we not going out and being proactive and going around the world, talking to research and development companies and saying, come to Las Cruces. We have a medical school. We will set you up. We have an Arrowhead. We have all kinds of opportunities here. We have great weather. We have all those great things. But let's build on the fact that we've got a medical school here now and attract the businesses that normally you will find around
okay.
a medical complex.
We have 1 minute left. Vote for C-1110. Why?
Because I will bring new ideas, new solutions, and hopefully new hope to Doniana County, District 37, and the state in general.
We
need new ideas.
We got to change something. As Thomas calls in and states, if the system is broken, sitting around and saying that's our lot in life is not the answer.
No. There are so many opportunities here. There are so many ways we could be building this area, giving people jobs, giving people hope, giving people the opportunity to move up and have a wonderful life. We don't have to be stuck in the cesspool we're in. We don't have to be last enough in education. We don't have to have the highest unemployment rate. We don't have to have the highest dropout rate. We can give our kids hope, but we need to start thinking about how to solve those problems in a different way.
Seal, thanks for coming on. It's great to have you.
My pleasure.
Okay, folks. 7:59, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, and thanks for tuning in. It's been wonderful. Don't forget to vote tomorrow, and have a good day. Kelly O'Connell, ciao.